handled well if we're handling courtship the proper way. But if we're not handling the courtship and dating the proper way, the harder it is to break up. It's really going to be harder. Now, biblically, how do you break up with someone? I was thinking about this really, and what's coming to my mind is like, well, how do you break up with someone unbiblically? You know, and normally, you know, like when you break up with someone, like do you just text them, hey, you know what, TTYL, or tata for now, BRB. How do you break up with someone? Well, the Bible did speak to us, you know, if we have a problem with someone, we have the Matthew 18 method. We keep everything between ourselves as much as possible. And also, we talk to that person personally, because a lot of things can be lost in translation when we're texting or when we're emailing or whatever it is. But your best form of communication, maybe face-to-face, talk to that person and keep it as private as possible. You tell that person, hey, you know what? I saw that in these areas, you know, that, you know, I can't deal with a person like that. Normally, the cause of breakup is because, again, this is biblical dating. The cause of breakup is you don't see each other being matched. And so you tell that person, hey, you know what? I don't see that we're matched in this area, and this is something that I cannot give up. And this is something that God had told me that, you know, I'm convicted that I should have in my relationship, and you don't have it. Now, after that, leave it as that. You don't go on tell other people like, hey, you know what? I broke up with this person because this person, you know, is this and that. That's so unbiblical. That's gossip, and God frowns upon gossip. So how do we break up with someone biblically? Matthew 18. I don't know if there's anything else you want.
Okay, so I just want to, because I think this is a misconception that does get put out there, because you think, I'm praying for the relationship, I'm doing it God's way, and you're doing it with the thought of marriage. So you're saying it's still possible to break up, even though you've gone through this process?
That's a very good question. You can be engaged, and it's still possible for you to be not matched. And
get married, and if God calls you not to be married to that person.
Yeah. Okay. My prayer was at the time before I said I do, continuously, Lord, if this is not your will, then just intervene. Because I'm too weak to intervene. I'm too, what's that? My perception is not that clear. So intervene in the situation. And so it's possible that, hey, you may be engaged and, you know, the frolics of sentimentalism can get to you and you can be blinded thinking that, man, this is the person that God has instilled for me and, you know, we're going to go all the way. And so I think Ben has something to share on that one too.
So in regards to the answering or the breakup question, basically before Janice and I started courting, I did have a girlfriend before that time. And because we had communication problems with the girlfriend before Janice, the breakup didn't end correctly or biblically, I should say. So when Janice and I made a decision to court, we started communicating, and I was telling her about my situation with my breakup and that it wasn't a complete breakup. We didn't have closure. So basically, Janice brought that up, and we both made a decision that, hey, I needed to biblically break up, have proper closure before I got together with Janice. So by God's grace, by, you know, prayer and stuff like that, about a month or two after this conversation, God allowed us the opportunity to talk with my ex-girlfriend, and we talked about the problems, what caused us to break up, and we both admitted that there was problems in the relationship and that it was God telling us that we shouldn't be together. So it was actually very a mutual thing, and that we were both at peace and both also had an understanding in regards to moving on. So we got together, and that's the way we got together, basically. So I wanted to share that sometimes a successful courtship doesn't necessarily mean you're together with that person. A successful courtship can also mean that the person that you're with, you clearly see that that's not the person mm-hmm. you're supposed to be married mm-hmm. to. Okay? So that's also can be considered a successful mm-hmm. courtship. Because that way, that's kind of like an elimination thing. It's like, hey, you know, this person I'm with I'm not with anymore, I don't think I can marry her. So that's one thing I want to share with you guys.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, really, for your openness and everything. It's really, it's nice to know this kind of information. Are there more questions coming in? Again, you guys, it's open.
Yeah, I mean, I still have a lot of questions here. I'm sorry. It says here, what constitutes a healthy... I mean, we can continue on.
You know what? Yeah, we'll continue. And I think for the sake of time, we're going to have to maybe end on this.
Oh, okay.
But sort of with what you're saying.
Pretty similar question.
Your question.
Okay.
Yeah. So your question was...
What constitutes a healthy Christian relationship?
Okay. And what are some practical things you do to put God first in your marriage?
Can you know, enumerate, I guess. Well, of course, one of the things, especially being in the same faith, family worship, and that is besides personal time with God, personal devotion in the morning.
Did you, I don't know, I wasn't there because I was at your church when you guys were here. Did you guys
yes.
explain family worship?
At some level, yeah, we did. We did.
Which is, of course, family worship. Let's say we have children. When in the future, it will be something that we do with our children, family worship, in the morning and at night and in the evening to close the day. But besides that, we also have our personal time with God, which is, you know, maybe something earlier, you know, when just upon rising before preparing.
I mean, to make it easier, it's a corporate time with God, which means as a husband and wife, we go to God together. And kind of like us as a church members of this church, corporately we go to God to this church and worship Him every Sabbath. So we do that. We have an evening corporate worship and then a morning corporate worship. So that's what it means, simply put. So go ahead.
What other
practical things to put God first in your marriage?
To put God first. We have a home church, and I think it's vital for every marriage to have a home church where you minister together. This is where you continue to evaluate your spouse, how their leadership is in church, how they're being used by God, if they're still allowing God to use them. And also ministry, what is he fond of in ministry, like what he likes to do in ministry? I think that's one of the things that when on the last 3 years of our relationship before we got married was one of the things that sealed it for me as far as ministry-wise, because we both like to do the same things as far as ministry goes. We love the young people. We like to spend time with them. We also like... mission trips. I mean, you know, we've only gone on a couple, but we got to evaluate each other as far as ministry goes, because I think it's also vital in a godly relationship if you desire that. And what else?
Well, I mean, I'm just looking at it. It says here, what are some practical things you do to put God first in your marriage? Well, in the beginning, we were clear. At least we made it clear. Even my dad, remember when we met up with him? Like, we made it clear that we'll put God first in our relationship. Now, what I do personally in regards to that is I make sure that I'm connected with God as an individual. So, because if I'm not connected with God, it's easy to just, you know, drift along in the relationship, and then sometimes she would suggest or I would suggest things that, oh, you know what, this is not in line with biblical principles. Like, for example, sleeping late. Like, it's easy for, you know, we're kind of like, oh, you know what, she's sleeping late. Okay, I'm going to sleep later. Or I tell her, hey, you know what, let's sleep late today. Let's sleep later. And so I need to reorient myself with God alone. Remember when before God created Eve, Adam was with God alone, and then when God created Eve, she was alone with God. Adam was not in the picture. So I make sure I have that time with God. And then, as the Bible says, examine yourselves, continuously evaluating yourself. Are you doing this for your wife because for the glory of your wife or for the glory of God? Then constantly I'm evaluating that. There are times when, you kind of fall short, but then you get back up, because that's what the righteous man does. They fall 7 times, but then they get back up. And so continuous evaluation, continuous time with God. Those are some practical things that we do. I mean, another practical thing is, there are things that we make sure, look, like the family worship, family devotions, that's there. It has to be there. Tithing, for example, and offering. We have systematic tithing and offering. For those of you who don't know that, we really set aside time, money for ministry, money for the church. Those are some of the things that we also do practically to put God first. This is for God already. And it's one of those things that nothing will change, pretty much. So I don't know if there's anything else. I'm trying to... And then the question that I had is, how do you... What constitutes a healthy Christian relationship? What constitutes a healthy Christian relationship?
Speaking for our relationship, one of the things that constitutes our healthy relationship, by God's grace, is honesty and openness and being transparent. I think JR knows me so much. I try to be honest to him as much as I am. I mean, I don't think... I have secrets from him. I'm as transparent to him as he is to me. What else?
I mean, if you tell us a secret and you tell me not to tell my wife, I'm not going to tell her.
Yeah. All right. We have that bro code.
Yeah, we have that code, at least, to keep privacy. If some guys who come up to me and they have struggles.
People confide in us. And
yeah. But... I mean, as far as what constitutes a Christian, a healthy Christian relationship, we just look at how God relates to us, and that's how we would relate to each other. Now, there are things here as well, because a Christian relationship can also be between a guy friend and a girlfriend. And so what constitutes a church goer, a regular church goer, that is a guy and a female, like as far as their relationship with each other, know your boundaries. There are boundaries that you should have to maintain that Christian relationship with each other. There are things that girls and guys shouldn't be talking about if you're not in a relationship and if you're not married. And so make sure you have those boundaries. I don't know if I should give any examples, but it might be longer. But as far as maintaining a healthy relationship, look at how God relates to us. That's how I, at least, look at it. How God relates to me, that's how I'm going to relate to her. So if I know God more and more, then my relationship with her would be healthier and healthier. But if I don't know God, then it's not going
to
be healthy.
And also this goes to as far as marriage and also in friendships or family relations. Listen to your convictions. Don't ignore them. It could be about, like you said, in friendship or in marriage. Because they're there for a reason. And make that conviction clear to the other person. Don't expect them to already know these things when you haven't communicated it to them. And again, communication. It's important to communicate your needs and your wants to the other person.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give a practical example. For example, she shared the transparency. We need to be transparent with one another. Is God transparent towards us? Yes or no? He is. That's why he wrote this book, to show how transparent he is. You would see there that, there are times when he's jealous, there's times when he's angry, there's times when he's glad. I mean, that's very transparent. The reason for the judgment is to show God's transparency. Another aspect that we see here is, for example, the initiation. God initiates. And so, I would initiate. What was the last thing that you were sharing a while ago? I was going to piggyback over that, but I lost...
openness, honesty, transparency.
Oh, the conviction, sharing conviction. I can't remember, but it left me. Maybe God doesn't want me to share it.
And also, time. Time is short.
I remember now.
Time is so little. You need time for everything, right? But, you know, you make time for each other. You make time for family. Yeah. Now we have two families. We try to spend as much time as we can with both. Time for ministry. You know, we also have... We used to have three different Bible study contacts in 1 week, two Bible studies, and we wanted to spend time with our family and then the other family, and then we wanted to spend time together. And it's like, it's hard. So we had to reconcile, talk about things that needs to be prioritized versus what needs to be given up. And, you know, but still trying to prioritize our time for each other. So time must be addressed.
Yeah. So, I mean, last thing, it came back to my mind. Like, our relationship with God, for example, like what she's saying, time, and then also the communication. In order to have a relationship with God, we pray, and then He gives us His Word. There are seven key aspects that I saw. Because in order to maintain a Christian, like a healthy Christian relationship, you also have to have a healthy Christian lifestyle. Because, for example, people who are in ministry, usually they're bombarded with ministry. And this is where you see the pastor not being able to take care of their kids. And usually the kids' pastor, the PKs, I'm a PK, are the rowdiest kids in church. I don't know, it's not the case in our family, except for me. But, you know, there are... I have it here. Like, there are aspects in life that we need to be balanced. We need to know how to balance our family life, our financial status, our physical health, our social, professional, spiritual, and personal. So it has to be balanced. That's how you maintain a healthy Christian relationship. You can't just take out the church and never take out your wife. You get that? Like, you can't just continuously be giving towards others and expect that your wife will be giving to you and not give to her. And so it's just maintaining that balance. It's a hard, difficult task, but it's not impossible with God. So just maintaining that balance.
Do you guys have any questions?
Any other questions
out there that you're just dying to ask?
Okay. Anything else you would like to know?
Well, I guess, are there? Have any other text messages come in?
Oh, here. Yep. Just a brand new one. Can the girl initiate in a relationship?
You know, he has a cousin where he had issues about gender roles, and I believe in gender roles, the biblical type, but you know, nowadays it's more about equality and fluidity and
Well, okay, there's two questions now, and then this person keeps asking that question as well. So number one is, can a girl initiate in a relationship? My answer is it's possible for a girl to let people know that you're ready for dating. Okay?
Just post it on your status.
Yeah, post it in your status. Like, hey, you know what? My parents allow, you know, I'm allowed to date. Now, no, there are so many ways wherein you can do that. You can be more conversant towards other people, just as the same way as you as a girl, you know, you shield yourself, right? Like, hey, you know what? I'm not ready for a relationship. You know, when a guy talks, it's just a yes and no answer. All right. Now, when a guy talks to you, you can probably elaborate a little bit more on the answers that you're giving. But as far as, hey, you know what? Would you go out with me and all that? Biblically, gender roles, God did not give it to women to do that. I don't know why. But I think also later on, you would do yourself a favor if you're a woman. And and by the way, if you've initiated and you're in a relationship right now, God can work through that, okay? We're not saying that, oh, you're in the wrong relationship. But what's this? Going back, for women, women usually tend to, and correct me if I'm wrong, there are two women here. Correct me if I'm wrong, but women tend to have that, they expect more romance coming from the man. And mind you, my brother says, I'm reading Ellen White quotes. It's true. Women are like that. And it actually says there that that's why the guy should court the women most of the time, because women needs that. That's what she's saying. And I'm like, wow. You know what? No. And if a woman initiates, like some women does this, like they would tell the guy, you should already know. And the reason why they're saying that is if she tells you, it loses its meaning because now you're doing it after I've told you. Come on. All right, women, guys probably understand this. So, I don't know, you're built that way, that you're not meant to initiate, that God are meant to initiate. Now, there are relationships where it's vice versa, and it works, and I'm not condemning if that's what's happening there. But ideally, should women initiate in relationship? The biblical answer, I think, as far as I've seen, is no. Have you seen otherwise, Peter? Well, I don't know. Maybe for Peter, yeah, you know what? No, women, I don't see Bible-wise that women initiates in the relationship. They can let them, the other people know that they're ready to mingle. They're single and ready to mingle. But as far as to initiate that first relationship part, I think you would do yourself a favor later on down in the relationship to actually empower the man to be the responsible person in the relationship. You don't want an Adam who would say, it's her fault. It's her fault. You want an Adam who would say, you know what? She made a mistake, but she's my wife. I'm taking responsibility for this. You get that? That's more romantic, isn't it? There was one more question that they keep hammering here. How about the right person that God provides, but you are not attractive to that person? I want Peter's answer towards this, because you know we have this discussion a lot. I don't know if I'm putting him to the spot. But how about the right person that God provides, but you are not attractive to that person? I know he has something to say. He always has something to say when we talk
especially
about this. Especially with this question.
Then it's not the right person.
That's what I said.
Inspiration already said that you have to be attracted to her, right? It's not the right person.
Honestly, if it is the right person that God is providing for you,
you'll be attracted to her.
God, yeah. And by the way, again, attraction isn't like, you know, a girl comes and like, that's attraction. Or a guy comes, walks in, you know, with the Bible and like, man, he's glowing. That's not what we're talking about here. Okay, attraction happens later on when like, oh man, this guy has a good sense of humor, when you're actually talking to that person already. So he's looking for a verse right now. as far as being attracted to that person, you know, just like the worldly type of like attraction at first sight. Huh? That's not what we're talking about here. Okay? You can be attracted to that person not right off the bat. I mean, I don't know, that wasn't the case with us. I was attracted to her right away when I saw her. I thought she was very pretty. I'd like to think that when she saw me, her sister told me that, because you know, when I picked them up, you know, we had them stay at our house to.
Sounds very bad.
There was a question that is it okay for people to live in the same what's that? No. But basically, my dad's ministry is welfare ministry. That means if people are coming from outside of the country and they need to get started here in the United States from a different country, and they don't, you know, it's a foreign country. So my dad takes people in. My mom is right there. They take people in. And they help them find a job, find a place to stay. If they don't have a place to stay, then they can stay with us. But anyways, going back on the story, her sister told me that the night that they got there into our house, and there was a bathroom that I had to go to that I use, and I had to pass by their room. She didn't know I was going to share this, but her sister told me that, you know, she was looking out the door, looking at me. And I like to think that because she was attracted to me, that's why she was looking at me. No, but I do know some people because later down in the relationship, the reason when we started talking to each other, it wasn't that she was attracted to me, I was attracted to her. It was, you know, about something else. But I've met a lot of people who they weren't attracted to each other first. I don't know if you know Sebastian Braxton. He's a good speaker. He's part of the GYC. But anyway, he's a speaker. His wife, when she first saw him, nothing. That's what she said. There was nothing. Like, she would tell you that there was nothing. But then later on, you know, attraction developed. She saw more things the more she got to know the other person. And so as far as physical attraction, it isn't just the petty, oh, you know what, just because this person, you know, his ear is bigger than the other, or, you know, he kind of winks differently. That's just a petty thing. But if it's a big deal for you, like, I can't date a person who has a deeper voice than myself, that you know for a fact that you won't be able to get with that person, then pray to God, like, look, Lord, is this really something that you want me to do? That I would date someone, that I would sacrifice, I'd be willing to sacrifice my wants, my attraction towards other people. Then, yeah, Peter, I think, has a verse now. Oh, but you were going to say something, I think.
The attraction doesn't have to be physical. I mean, you can be as pretty as girl as you want, but if you nag and if you're disrespectful and if you're selfish, that's very unattractive.
Yeah.
And so we're not talking only about visual attraction. It has to be the character as well.
Yeah.
So when we talk about attraction, you can't just think about it just from a visual perspective. But, I mean, is she a good communicator? I find bad communicators very unattractive. I find people that are not straightforward very unattractive.
Yeah.
And so those are some things to consider.
So to answer the question, how about the right person that God provides, but you're not attractive to that person? Maybe you've not spent enough time with that person, if that is the right person. There are rare cases in the Bible, like Hosea, for example, right? Someone, I think, asked that question. Hosea, where God literally commanded Hosea to marry a prostitute. Those are exceptions to the rule. But normally, God, you know, when God brought Eve, you know, Adam, it didn't seem like Adam was like, ew, you know, like, yeah. It seemed like automatic, you know, there was attraction right away when they started to communicate. I mean, it seemed like they solemnized their, you know, their commitment to each other on that Sabbath. And so if it's the right person, you spend that right time with that person, you'll be attracted to that person if it is that right, or at least that matched person that God has for you at that point in time. And if that's, you know, who God wills is for you to have. I mean, we're the only two married people here, but I'm attracted to my wife. Are you attracted to your wife, Ben? Are you attracted to your husband? She's attracted to me. She told me that. My mom is married, and my dad was really attracted to her. My mom's very beautiful. I don't know. Are you attracted to my dad, to daddy? Yeah, so attracted. So it transcends physicality. It transcends physicality.
I think physical attraction, like I said, I am attracted to my husband. Physical attraction is very basic. But the more you're attracted to qualities, the more your attraction is real and deep.
Yeah. I mean, have you met someone who, like, is really, like, pretty? And then when you talk to that person, like, oh, she's not that pretty after all. Yeah, have you ever had that? Hey, some of you are saying, yeah, I mean, I've spoken, like, a really, really beautiful girl, and then I talk to her, it's like, this person doesn't make any sense. Like, she's not all there, you know? Like, she's not. And automatically, like, her beauty just goes all the way down. And then you speak to someone you thought you wouldn't be, you know, you wouldn't connect with, but when you connected with that person, like, oh, yeah, this person, it's not bad. After all. I think that's all.
Okay.
What is the point of having children?
That was your question.
I answered that question.
Yeah, I think she did answer that question already. That you know, it's a fruit of your love. Like, the point why God created human beings is so that he can shower love towards them. And so if you don't have love in your heart, I mean, don't have kids. I pity those kids if you don't have love in your hearts.
Well, as we close up, maybe if there's one bullet point thought that you would like people to leave with, or something you want them to consider or think about in terms of relationships, and you know, what is the one bullet point thought you would like to leave with, but from both of you, one from each?
I'm gonna start.
I think the first thing that came to my mind when you said that was don't ignore the Holy Spirit. That still small voice in anything. It can be, you know, anything, but most especially in relationships. You know, when the Holy Spirit convicts, don't ignore it. And you know it's there. Listen to it and obey God in whatever conviction that is, because you will not regret it. It might not seem important or easy to do at that moment, but if it's from God, you have to trust it and trust Him that He will lead you in the path that He wants you to be in. Because, you know, everything is a choice. I think that's another one. Two bullet points. Everything is a choice, you know. There's no one to blame. You yourself make decisions. And, I think I'll end it there. The Holy Spirit's work is really important, so we shouldn't ignore it.
For me, really, it's a verse that keeps triggering on my mind when it talks about relationship. 1 John chapter 4, verse 21. He who loveth God, love his brother also. And so first thing, commit yourself. What she said, commit yourself to God. First and foremost, make sure you're fully surrendered to Him if you haven't already done that. And then you would... I was going to use the word gamble. And then risk in relationships. Relationships are beautiful, whether it's just friendship, parent relationship, or, you know, whatever relationship we have. Risk in that relationship because we're meant to be in relationship with one another. If you're fully committed with God, God will carry you through any relationships that you're going to go through. Many people are afraid to risk. That's why, you know, they're probably single, like they're 50 and single. Some ladies are just living with cats because they don't want to risk that point. It's okay to risk. Submit yourself to God. Risk. Relationship is a beautiful thing the moment you get in it. Will you not cry? No, there will be cries. There will be hurts. There will be pain. Those are part of growth in relationships. But with Jesus in relationship, we can smile at the storm, right? That's a song, huh?
I think you quoted the song.
No, it's with Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm. So with Jesus, as long as you take Jesus with you, I mean, go. It's exactly the same thing when we're knocking on doors and giving, you know, trying to get Bible study contacts and people to study the Bible with. That risk only becomes beautiful if Jesus is with you. If Jesus is not with you, that you won't even do that risk. That risk is not even going to be worth it. So just be with God and risk in relationships as long as you're with God. God bless.
Thank you so much, guys, inviting us. It was a blessing to be here. I hope you guys learned something.
Yeah, I hope you learned something, even the young ones.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for, as well as Ben and Janice and Peter. Thank you, Anshel and JR. Let's go ahead and all stand, and we'll close with prayer. Peter, could you pray for us, actually?
Let's pray. Father in heaven, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together this afternoon to learn about the principles of relationships. And Father, we know that you want to give us life and life more abundantly if we follow you according to your will. And so, Father, through these experiences that we learn, may we apply these principles in our lives. And may we trust you that you have the better thing in mind rather than the world. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to know you better and to know what true love is. And we ask that we experience it so that we can share with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, everyone. And remember, you guys can all get changed, and we're going to go have a little walk at the park. So. Oh, yeah.